Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyanana Salakya Shakshunitamya Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Mutale Svayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaurava Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The chanting of the holy name is the special mercy incarnation of the Lord. The holy name, so it is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in every house in Navadvip. So Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, but not in every house. He appeared in the house of Jagannathas and Sachimata. So it is the holy name that appeared in every house in Navadvip and just transformed the entire world of Navadvip at that time. India was not a free country. It was subjugated by a foreign invader. And the Muslim rule was very forceful. And although the Muslims came in small number, they came with strong military force. But they would rule with mercenary soldiers. But otherwise, Hindu practices were going on undisturbed in many ways. But at the same time, it wasn't meant to go too far. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, they took it too far. They took it way too far because they took Harinam Sankirtan into the streets. And that was really something. Too much. So complaints were being made. And every night in the house of Srivas, these kirtans were going on. Every night. But people said, this is too much, it has to stop. But then we know that they complained. They complained to the Nawab, Hussein Shah, the ruler of Bengal. And they sent, the Nawab was supposed to send a ship down with soldiers to sort of crack down on this whole thing. So everyone was waiting. But that did not happen. But what did happen is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a mass protest, and that a kirtan went to the street. It said with lakhs of people, hundreds and thousands were partaking in that kirtan. There were tens of thousands of mridangas playing, and all the same beat. It was a miracle. It sounded like the clap of thunder, yes. And in this way, it said that it was night, but they were carrying torches, and it became, the light of these torches was so bright that it appeared like daylight. So a lot of torches, a lot of people. What an event. And in this way, the chanting of the holy name was now flooding Navadvip. It was overflowing in all directions. And ultimately, there was a confrontation with the Chand Qazi, who had given the order to stop the Sankirtan. And in that confrontation, the Chand Qazi was discussing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at one point, the Chand Qazi pointed out that actually, he had broken the mridanga in the house of Srivas and given order to stop the kirtan. And that after that, he said, this huge lion appeared in his dream. And this lion jumped on him and threw him flat on the ground. And this lion sat on his chest and put its nails on his chest. And I will rip your heart out of your chest, he said. Oof. And it was only a dream, but you know, while you're dreaming, it's very real. And then, finally, the lion said, I will give you one more chance. One more chance, but if you ever stop the sanctum movement again, you're finished, he said, like that. Anyway, then this Chankazi woke up. And although it had only been a dream, when he woke up, he saw the marks of the nails were on his chest. Just like, God, it was not a dream. It was real. Right? And then, he showed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still the scars from the nail marks of the Supreme Court. It was for that reason that the Qazi gave the solemn vow that he would never disturb the Sankirtan movement nor his descendants. And up to the day of today in Sri Dhammayapur, this is still being followed. Still. So in this way, we can see the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya start to spread. Everywhere in India, the Vedic culture had become hollow. It had become lip service. It had become external ritual. But who was really following? Right? It had become very dry. So many rules, so many regulations, and no one knew why. And what is the meaning of this? So many complications. Like one story I like to tell is the story of a marriage. And the marriage was being arranged, and the lady supervising this marriage, she was making sure that everything was fine. Last minute, there was a cat, a black cat. Very rare in India, but there was a black cat. Anyway, so what to do brings bad luck, right, at the marriage. So how to get rid of this cat? She just last minute took a basket and put it on top of the cat. And somehow or other, everything went well. The whole ceremony went fine. The cat was quiet. Everything. Marriage hogya. So everything went very well. Then, 30 years later, her daughter was now arranging for the marriage of her own daughter. At the last, she went over a checklist, everything here, everything there, yes, 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 yes. And then last minute, oh my God, we forgot the black cat. Where is the black cat? There must be a black cat under a basket. Otherwise, the ritual is not complete. So over the centuries, over the millennia, so many black cats came in. Right? So many black cats came in into the ritual. And nobody knows exactly how it goes and how it doesn't go, but somehow or other, you just do something. Looks good. You pay dandavats, you do a few push-ups, right? In between, it is pukka. Like this, nobody, why? Nobody knows, but something. Om. Right. So in this way, who really knows? The Vedas. Who actually knows? It's all watered down, forgotten. And even if you say, no, in my village, there is one pukka brahmana. He knows everything from the Vedas. Yes, but then let me remind you that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that at his time, in 1850, right, in India, only 6% of the Vedas were still available. In 1850, he said, only 6% still available. 6%. That's shockingly low, isn't it? You thought if I would have said 60, you would have said, 60 chalega. That is pretty good, you know. It's almost 100. yes. But no, only 6%. Since that time, we've had so many manuscripts were lost, just eaten by time, because they sit in in metal tubes written on palm leaves. Yeah? And some just, when they opened some of the tubes, all that came out was powder. Powder. Some things are kept in government research institutes and universities, and copies are there. But then some things also destroyed. What to do? So now it's probably less than 6%. So in this way, who can still say he knows the Vedas? Everybody just does something. Looks good. What does it mean? I don't know. So, like this, everything became dry. And the youth began to challenge the elders and said, why do we have to follow all these things? Why? There was an uprising of the youth in India, actually. They began to ask, why? You don't... How can you ask such things? Very inappropriate. You don't ask such things. We cannot ask. No? We have to follow. But people began to ask, why are we doing these things? Why is there a black cat? So gradually, like this, and we see Vedic culture gradually broke down. Another big problem in the Vedic tradition was the caste culture. The caste culture was very problematic. In South India, there were Sudras who had to sort of do some seva in the Brahmin villages to clean and things like that, to walk with bells, right? Walk with a bell just to make sure that all the Brahmins could quickly go into the house so that the shadow of the Sudra would not touch them. Because there is a reference in the Dharma Shastra that if the shadow of the Sudra will touch you, then you have to fast. Who wants? Brahmins don't like fasting. Anyway, some maybe do. I don't want to blaspheme the Brahmins. There are many that don't. That is well known. And so then they have to fast. And only then, after again purification, can one study the Vedic literature. The Dharma Shastra is very strict in that regard. If we are looking at Manu Samhita, then we can read that only after strict purification can one read the Shastra. So it was difficult. Gradually, things changed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave the chanting of the holy name freely. Some Vaishnava Acharyas had done it before. Like Ramanuja Acharya, we may recall that his spiritual master sent him to study under a great self-realized sage. And finally that sage told him a secret mantra. He said, if you chant this mantra, you will attain all perfection. All perfection. You will attain liberation from birth and death. Whoever chants this mantra will attain perfection. It is so powerful. But it is a very hidden secret. Ramanuja Acharya received the mantra, and subsequently Ramanuja Acharya went onto the main square near the temple. He climbed on the temple and standing up near the gate of the temple, he just loudly announced to the people, I will give you the greatest secret, and by this secret you will attain all perfection. And then he publicly spoke out the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. Now you've all heard it. You have all heard this mantra now, then the greatest good will come to you. Meanwhile, when Ramanuja's guru heard this, he became very upset. And he chastised him greatly. How could you do such a thing? How could you speak such a thing? I told you to keep this mantra secret, and now you spoke it to everyone? How could you do this? Then Ramanujacharya said, I know I disobeyed your order. And I know that for one who disobeys the order of the spiritual master, there is no good destination. I know I will have to suffer hellish reactions for all of this. But then think of the fate of all these people. All these people are now chanting this mantra, and they will all get the benefit. And after that, that saintly teacher was shocked. He was shocked. He said to himself, he said, such a saintly vision I've never seen. Such a spirit of sacrifice. He's not afraid to go to hell for the benefit of everyone else. And he said, from this day on, you are my guru. I am Ramanuja. No. Yes. No. All that, you know. So this is a moment of Vaishnav. How the Vaishnav is not seeing a division according to births. A Vaishnav is seeing a division of people according to consciousness. Yesya yalakshanam proktam pumsavani vivyanjakam yadanyatrapi trisyeta tattenaiva vinyati set. The Vaishnav is seeing, yes, if one behaves like Brahmana, like a saintly person, oh, that, then he is. If someone acts like Sudra, he can have taken birth in an exalted family, but if he behaves like Sudra, he is a Sudra. By behavior, by quality. Bhagavad Gita also said, Chaturvarnyam mayasistam guna karma vibhagasa, it says, by guna, not janma karma vibhagasa, not by birth, by guna. Krishna says also, same thing. So that is interesting. So the Vaishnava Acharyas were following in this mood. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu openly taught like that and opened the door for transcendental knowledge to go to the people of the world. Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, they wrote down transcendental knowledge. Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote in Bengali. He did not write in Sanskrit. Sanskrit, who could understand? Only highly educated people. Otherwise, no one would know Sanskrit. No one would know. Common man would never learn Sanskrit. But he translated in Bengali. He gave the knowledge to the people. And in this way, gradually the knowledge began to reach out to the people themselves. And now the people themselves, by chanting the holy name, can directly become purified. They don't need anymore. Yes, they still need guru, but they don't need to just hear only from brahmanas. Now they become purified themselves. They can also read scripture now. Anyone can read now because they're chanting the name of the Lord. And that chanting of the name of the Lord changes everything. So they say, if you are a Sudra and you behave nicely, then in your next life, maybe you become purified, you take a better birth. Like that. They say, over many lives, you can become purified. Because it is said that during this life, whatever pious activities you do, that will go in your consciousness, and then at the end of life, you carry that with you, and that will bring the new birth. What happens when you chant Hare Krishna? There is a change if you chant Hare Krishna. You look at me, everyone looking, okay, open your eyes. Yes, you're looking, no sleeping, okay, glasses on, everyone looking. All right, look now. Hare Krishna. Did you see any change? Maybe not, because you weren't watching. Okay, I'll do it again. It goes very quick. So watch properly. And everybody watch. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Did you see any change?
Yes.
Okay, what did you see? Somebody, what did you see?
You're happy.
He says, I'm happy.
Lots of energy, enthusiasm.
Lots of energy and enthusiasm, he says. Any other changes we saw?
Blissful.
Anything?
Positive.
Okay. Ladies?
You made us all chant it as well.
I made others chant as well. Just see. Ah. No, you know, you got it all wrong. Sorry. Not what to do. No. What really happened is that the subtle body has changed. And yours also. Gross body, yes, may smile, but I don't always smile when I chant Hare Krishna. But, and you also don't. But the subtle body has changed. And if we keep on chanting, then the subtle body changes very fast. And thus we don't have to wait till next life to change. No, already now changed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The subtle body changes and becomes purified. And thus we lose all that contamination from lifetimes, which gave us a low birth, a compromised birth. Anyway, Kali Yug chal raha hai. Kali Yug to kalu sura sambhava. In Kali Yug, everyone is a sutra. Who is honest? Is there anyone in the room who has never spoken a lie in his life? If there's anyone who raises his hand, then surely that's a liar. I was trying to catch someone, but we were quite honest people. That can be worse. If you wouldn't want. So, in this way, disqualified. Disqualified. And it's like fallen Brahmana. Previously, the earth would not be able to tolerate the burden of a liar. The earth, when lies were spoken, the earth would crack open. Kings that have lied have been swallowed up by the earth. The earth cracked open. Yes. They fell in and then the earth closed. In the past, in other yugas, it is true. So in this Kali Yuga, we get off light. We get off very light. Because in the Satya Yuga, everyone was saintly. Most went back to Godhead, but those who were a little less saintly, they didn't make it. They came back and eventually took their birth in Treta Yuga, where people were less qualified. And then, we, in the Satya Yuga, probably, that we're not even human beings. Probably not. Because the standard for human life was so high in the Satya Yuga, even in Treta Yuga, such a high standard. Right now, as we are, we would not qualify for human beings. Anyway, in the age of Kali, the standard for getting human birth has been lowered. The age of Kali is the age for those students with learner's problems. A special school for the problem cases. See? And even they get a human body in Kali Yuga. In other yugas, we would now be monkeys in the trees or whatever other varieties of creatures. Here we are, now in a human birth. But are we behaving in a human standard? Srila Prabhupada explained that these four regulative principles that he was asking to be followed, he said, that is only the human platform. Anything below is animal. So, then, what to say? So many animals then. Dvipada Pasu, two-legged animals, what can we say? So, without blaspheming anyone or criticizing anyone. Where am I going with this lecture? Is that everyone should understand is that India is changing rapidly. Many of you are younger than I am, and when I first went to India, there are quite a few here who were not even born then, right? They never saw the India that I saw, right? Many here in the room from India have not seen that India that I saw 45 years ago, because they're younger than 45. Some who are only 45, they were too small to remember, and those who were 10 or 55, they remember something, but they were children. They couldn't fully understand. So 45 years ago, India was a very different place. It was a very pious place. Everywhere there was worship. Everywhere there were temples. If you were driving by train to India, you would see temples in all the fields, small temples everywhere. You will still see, but not like that. Then, everywhere in the fields, people were worshipping. Now these things are gone down, not happening anymore. In the cities, there were lecture platforms where you could actually hear Mahabharata, Ramayana, and things like this. Everywhere, even in places like Delhi. I saw it even in Delhi, where it's not the most, it's a more government is there, more materialistic place in a way, compared to some places. But even there, what to say? So everyone can say, everyone from India at least can say, that his father would spend more time with religion than he did himself. And everyone can say that his father's father, his grandfather, spent more time than his father. Everything is going down quickly, very quickly. And then, Rajiv Kandi brought in some things, Maruti and Fruti. Then Nasringa Rao came, right, and so many changes were made in India at that time. MTV came. We got the BJP, and they started the big Ram Sheila campaign for breaking the Jama Masjid in Ayodhya. But in the process, they were riding on the wave of the Ramayana, Anand Sagar, the television wala. And everyone had to have one. Everyone had to have a television in India to see the Ramayana. If the Ramayana was playing and people were in the train, they would pull the emergency brakes, go down the train, find some television in a village and see the Ramayana. Parliament would cancel their sessions, and politicians followed. And Advani, started Ram Ram, and the BJP became really big. And everywhere, Ram Shilas and so on, and whatever we had. And the masjid was broken. Such, all these things have happened in India. And the result of all that was that everyone got a television. And then after the Ramayana, what did they watch? MTV. And so many other things. And suddenly, everywhere, so many mundane things came into India. So many from outside, from this, from that. And then next thing we saw, all the ladies started driving. They were never driving, all due respect to the ladies, But in the past, they did not drive. Now, they all drive. And some of them drive really bad. Excuse me for saying this. But some drive very good also. Now they fly planes also. Yes. They in India also, they fly planes. So, progress. Everything is possible now in India. And very, very, and India worked very, very hard. Very, very hard. to become just like the West. They are not quite there yet, but it won't be long. It won't be long. They made a lot of progress. A lot of progress to become just like the West. And just wait a while. I think with the next generation, we'll do it. Success. Anyway, what shall I say? Therefore, what is our hope now? To turn to the Vedic culture? Nature. Bilkul nature. Jada muskil ho gaya. Jada parishan ho gaya. Thoda sust ho gaya. Mandu sumanda matiyo manda bhaki rupa drupta. I can give the lecture in Hindi also, but there are people who don't understand. I'm not doing it. So, in the end, we must understand, we all depend on the Sankirtan movement. We all depend on the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should not think, nobody should think, oh, but I'm from a different background. See, I am doing this on the strength of my culture. No. Culture is hollow. Culture has become empty. Empty ritual without meaning. But Prabhupada gave us the meaning of all this Vedic literature. And Prabhupada is the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the carrier of the Sankirtan movement. It is the Sankirtan movement that is the life of Transcendental Knowledge, that brings it back to our heart, that brings it back to real life. To real life. And that is my lecture today, that we all understand that this is not just a Vedic revival movement. No. This is the hidden movement of the Vedic culture, the Bhakti movement, now given with great mercy to everyone. It is the one movement in the age of Kali that can bring real spiritual life to all. And this movement is meant to spread to every town and village in the world. And it did. See, it's here in Brisbane already. It made it to Brisbane. It's over in Wollumbah. Which is some place somewhere. Yeah? Out, as they say in this country, it's out in the whoop whoop smack. Fairly can go in and out. It's right there in the whoop whoops and the sticks, yeah? Right. Good on ya. Yeah, right. She'd be right. Been there, done that. Right. Yeah, fairly can. Alright, good on you. Anyway, so considering all this, we are part of an amazing movement. And the secret of this movement is the more you give, the more you gain. That is the secret of this movement. The more you give, the more you gain. The more you give, the more you have. It's amazing. Whatever you receive, give it. See what happened to Ramanuja. He gave, he received a secret mantra. He gave it. He gained more than what than just that mantra. He gained. He gained special blessings for giving the mercy to so many people. The more we give, the more we gain. This is the principle. And this is what Srila Prabhupada did. This is what he did tirelessly, everywhere. Yare dekit tarakaha Krishna upadesh amara gyai guru hai tare desh. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse so many times. Whomever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. And in this way, deliver the entire world. Become a teacher and deliver the entire world. Prabhupada also said, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manushya Janma Jara Janma Satakakara Paropakara. That verse is the most quoted verse. You check on, you know, we checked out the statistics. This verse he quoted more than any other verse. Whoever has taken his birth in the land of Bharat. Oh, Bharat. Bharat's here. whoever took his birth in the land of Bharat, he should take up this mission and teach the entire world this transcendental knowledge. So this is actually, we have received the greatest gift. Now we must share. And if we do that, miracles will happen. More miracles have already happened. We are here, that's a miracle. But more miracles are to come. And then this place will just, it will become so small, and we'll need two stories inside to put all the people, and eventually, automatically, a new temple will come. It will just happen by the strength of the people that are attracted. It is in that way. When we preach, everything will come. So with that, the pujari has come. So he is quiet. But the arati must be already starting. He's run away. Dear pujari, please go ahead. We'll complete with the arati. And so let us, with great enthusiasm and great fullness, worship Lord Chaitanya in this Gaura Arti. He is our worshipful Lord. He is the one who brought us all this mercy. Now let us become an instrument of His mercy, and the world will change. All the craziness will go, and your children will have a future. Thank you very much.